Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. Today is December 8th, 2016. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and you are listening to the Age of Vision radio show with Lonnie Clark. And today I have with us Hope Castor, better known as Bobby Galileo. She has joined us before, and I, as you know, I'm really looking forward to developing a set of friends on our show that are anti-nuke activists, or nuke truthers, as I like to call them. And so I've asked Hope to come back with us. So Hope, thank you for joining us. Oh dear. Hope, can you hear me? On the line with me right before we started. Seems to be there. Hope is not with us. 3 days in a row, man. I think we ought to get a, this is called a, let me give her a call back. I'm going to attempt to give her a call back. So let me give her a call back. Here we go. This is three days in a row when we've done this. So I take that as kind of a compliment here, folks, that the old NSA is taking it upon themselves to stop anybody who is getting the truth out about nuclear. And, but you know what? This is the thing. We're determined. You can't stop us. You can't deny the death that nuclear is going to cause. This morning I saw a story, Jewel sent me the story about how they're saying it's fake news reporting on the flowers. So I went to this website of this, whoever this guy was that wrote this story. Maybe that's her. Hope, are you with us? Hello? Hope, are you with us?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh.
Hope, we hear you. You just said the F word as your first intro on the show, so welcome to the show.
Hello.
So much for not guessing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. We're glad we're here. You know, this is actually the third day in a row when this has happened. As soon as we get on the air, the call drops. So I think I think I must have made it to the top of the NSA list.
Oh my.
Which I'm
looking at my phone
because they don't. I was just saying that I read this article this morning. It was totally hilarious about how they're saying that the picture of the Fukushima daisy, the mutated daisy, couldn't possibly have come from Fukushima. That has to be a fake news story because those people were not even anywhere near the nuclear power plant. They were in Fukushima Prefecture, but not near the power plant. So I looked up the website of the people who wrote this article, and it is headed by a guy who literally on the website says he is a failed neuroscientist. Failed.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, that's his bio. He's a failed new neuroscientist starting this website since 2000. I think it was 9 or 7. So, well, welcome, Hope, to our show. We have about 50 minutes left. I want to just dig right in. For those of you that did not catch Hope's story before, Hope basically testified, and I hope she can go through exactly the details of this, in the early 80s. Against a company that is instrumental for the nuclear industry. And since that time, her life was basically turned upside down, and they attempted to destroy it. They attempted to Karen Silkwooder, but, you know, she's got a pretty strong spirit, and here she is today. So welcome, Hope. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Lonnie. And just to reiterate part of it, I testified against ATI, which in those days was called Teledyne Huacheng. And zirconium is something that they need to build nuclear reactors all over the world with. And this is the only heavy metals plant in the entire world outside of Siberia. And it's located in Albany, Oregon. And it had tons, literally tons, of nuclear waste on site, and the Willamette River, it's on the floodplain of the Willamette River. It's draining directly into the river. So we're looking at terrible.
That was a detail you did not mention to me before about the nuclear waste. I didn't hear that before. There's nuclear waste stored on site there?
I don't think there is any more. I think they've moved most of it. How they moved it becomes very interesting, because it's become, since I testified, a Superfund cleanup site. It's really a mess. It's really a mess. They've still got the oven there that they make heavy metals in, which means that there's still a uranium oven right there on site in Albany, Oregon.
Wow.
The deadly peril to everybody in Eugene, in the entire Willamette Valley area, in Salem, in Portland, the entire area is inundated from this plant. And the cancer rates, when I started really looking at cancer rates, and I was an anti-nuclear activist long before I was diagnosed with cancer. I was diagnosed with terminal cancer at 21 years old. I had all three thyroid cancers and Graves' disease. I had the highest thyroid that ever lived. So my life was pretty ruined then. You know, I lost a ballet career. I lost a singing career. I was an achiever. I'd won awards in theater. All of a sudden, I was looking at being terminally ill, weighing 72 pounds. And the first time I really ran against the surveillance state, the system, I think my life has already been surveilled. I think I was already a targeted individual. I had an extremely high IQ. I was from a very interesting family. I think that they had already targeted me. I think they were already plagiarizing work from my family. I think that was already going on. But when I testified, everything changed. And I testified in the early 80s, and they had an open hearing. And I testified against ATI because I had found out about all this nuclear-contaminated waste. Well, what they were going to do, they were going to put it on farmers' fields, Lonnie. They were going to put this raw radioactive waste on farmers' fields. And I looked at this, and I've had cancer. Now, by the early 80s, I'd had cancer three times, maybe four times already. I guess four times. And I'd already just had a life from hell, really. I mean, you can't even imagine the suffering. Graves' disease is why I suffered so horrifically. My brain swelled, my eyes were forced out of my head. I mean, it was so excruciating. I had to tape my eyes in at night. It was really, really ugly stuff. And so when I went in and testified, I knew what I was talking about. I had those ducks in a row. I dotted those I's and I crossed those T's. And I knew damn well that Hanford had already given me cancer. And but even before I had cancer, as an environmentalist, as somebody who identifies as a First Nation, I looked at this and I went, wow, nuclear energy runs the risk of killing life on Earth. And I'd written a paper, Global Warming. That paper was stolen. Now, global warming, I put it down to nuclear energy. And even Dr. Helen Caldicott, who I totally respect, who I think is a genius, who I just love this woman so much, even she says, well, yeah, the carbon footprint. No, the loss of the ultimate heat sink. And do you know who Sam Gamgee is? He does the Correct Views.
No.
He's a really he's a really sweet guy. He does a nuclear update monthly on YouTube, and he's a really nice guy. And even Sam says, well, I don't believe in global warming. You know, well, that's because when they stole that paper, Lonnie, and this is how deep the rabbit hole goes with me. When they stole that paper, they changed the meaning of my work. So people look at people going, well, there isn't global warming. We're not changing it with carbon. Not exactly. What you're changing, how the climate is changing, why, and I'll tell you something. I created the term global warming, but I did not create the term climatary instability, which is a far better term. That's really what's going on. And what happened is on...
Say that word again.
Climatary instability. That's what's really going on. Climatary instability all over the earth from nuclear energy, from the use of depleted uranium, from nuclear reactors, and from bomb testing. And so,
well,
and
let
from
me
nuclear
just get
waste
back
story.
To, you know, this is talking about the waste. You know, I want to interject this as people think about this. In our country, we turn about 55% of our sewage waste, 50 to 55% of our sewage waste gets turned into fertilizer in the United States. In other countries, they put it underneath the on the side of the roads and underneath the roads and things like that. They don't use it on their farms. In our country, it was a big thing that I fought, in the mid 2005, 6, 7, when I first learned about this. This is a huge issue. And because of the nuclear contamination, you know, you cannot filter out nuclear contamination. So
no, there's no filter.
When you're talking about them going, digging in and polluting our entire food supply, this is not an accident. Our country is the only country who really turns sewage waste, or the major country who turns sewage waste into fertilizer. Not to interrupt your train of thought, but that you what you were talking about really brought it all into my head, and I'm like, wow.
Because it's contaminated. Exactly.
Well, because let's go back here. I beg your pardon for interrupting you. So I want to just interject that as we think about your story.
So what they were going to do was they were going to put this radioactive material on farmers' fields. And I'm a cancer survivor. I walked in there realizing what these farmers were going to face. Terrible, horrific agony, terrible pain. And people say to you, oh, we're all going to die anyway. What does it matter? Well, you're not going to die 20 screaming, okay? You're not going to vomit and have terrible cramps and be in just such agony that you pray for death. I mean, you don't know. People that have never had terminal cancer have no clue what it's like unless they're taking care of a loved one who has terminal cancer. And taking care of somebody, being the primary care provider of somebody, it's just horrific. You're scarred for life. I mean, you're traumatized deeply. This is an agonizing and a horrible and a senseless death. And so I went in there realizing what was at stake. I knew their children would die, and I knew that anybody who ate that food would die. But I also knew that the land, the Willamette Valley, there's places in the Willamette Valley where the soil goes down 37 feet. It's the old Willamette Valley is the old Willamette River basin, and the soil is just incredibly rich and fertile. And that land would be contaminated basically forever. The half-life of uranium is 238, is 4.6 billion years. That's longer than the Earth has been around. And to understand that, it's just a colossal number when you think about that's just the half-life. A half-life isn't half of that. It's like 1/120th of that. So it's actually 20 times that. And when you really consider the ramifications that we're dealing with nuclear energy, it's unconscionable that any human beings with a brain in their head would be messing with this stuff. And we were warned, Lonnie, we were warned by Einstein, we were warned by Oppenheimer, we were warned by people, don't mess with this stuff. This stuff, we have nothing, no matter what anybody that is pro-nuke tells you, and right now I want to tell the American people this, I want to tell every listener this, no matter what anybody tells you how safe it is not safe. It is unstable. And that is why I wrote the paper on global warming, because of the unstable isotopes involved and the loss of the ultimate heat sink. You see, thermodynamics gets into the fact that a nuclear atom stays hot for a long, long time. Well, I'm listening to a show by Sam Gamgini saying, I don't believe in global warming. I understand that, folks. You have not seen my work. What you have seen is a bunch of rich people, a bunch of corporations who stole that work, changed that work, and fed you a lie, okay? This is not my original work. My premise was that the atomic structure of nuclear waste is hot, and it is, and it never goes away. So in the same story where Sam is saying, oh, I don't believe in that,
well,
which I understand,
he's
got a
right
to say.
Do you think that the fact that it never goes away, you know, just this month, they discovered new isotopes. There was a story I read last week that there are 4 new isotopes discovered in Japan. Do you think it comes out of the out of control situation, since you understand this, in Japan? I mean, they were discovered in Japan.
It certainly could. There's a lot we don't know yet. But let me get back to the ultimate heat sink. So in the same article that Sam's saying this, Sam goes on to say that there's a nuclear plant leaking in Florida, and it's making the water outside the plant hot. That's exactly my point. See, it is heating up the planet. The water that comes out of nuclear plants is hot. It's warmer, and that heat is on a atomic level, and it doesn't disperse. It stays hot. And that is why people didn't understand what I was talking about with global warming. You almost have to be a physicist and know a little about thermodynamics to follow my train of thought here, because
well,
it's very complex.
This is the thing. I've had this same argument with Chuck Johnson, and who is a guest on my show, about Fukushima. He has stated to me many times over the last 4 years that I've known him that Fukushima couldn't possibly be affecting the Pacific Ocean, because there's just the ocean is way too big. And that, and I'm like, the last time we talked, I'm like, look, you might have said that 4 years ago, but we're in year 5 of them dumping over 100,000 tons of hot radioactive waste into the Pacific every day. And he's like, it's still
every
said,
day,
like,
day in, day out.
That's right.
Day in, day out. It goes on and
billions,
on and on.
Billions.
And as the great Dr. Caldicott has said, and this is absolutely the truth, the solution to pollution by dilution is fallacious when it comes to radiation. It will not work. And the reason it won't work is it isn't diluted. So when you talk about microbes, when you talk about the normal stuff that people can get their head around, everything changes. Everything changes when you get into nuclear. We're in a brand new paradigm. This is a brand new template. Forget everything you were taught. This is brand new stuff. And it's the far-reaching into the future ramifications are awesome, Lonnie, because we don't even know about the terrible, deadly peril that we're putting into the world. And I don't know if you know who Doug Roeke is. Doug Roeke is a great man. He's he was a warrior. He was a veteran of the Iraqi War. He's a doctor, and he was in charge of the depleted uranium product. And when he saw the damage it did to our troops, the damage it did to the civilian population of Iraq, he started fighting for veterans' rights who had been exposed to depleted uranium. We never used depleted uranium. We knew it was the most deadly weapon in the world since the mid-40s, after the Manhattan Project. But we never used it until George Bush, Daddy-O, became president. After that point, we are using this horrible weapon on humanity, and it is a crime against humanity. Dick Cheney and Hal Burton made $39.5 billion off the Iraqi War.
Wow.
That's a whole lot of money, America. And here's something America doesn't want to hear, and they better hear this loud and clear. before the Gulf War, the Iraqi people were healthy, smart. They have the oldest civilization on the planet, arguably. Certainly, Egypt and India are contenders, but they're right there with them. Babylonia is an ancient, ancient, ancient civilization. And now they are looking at massive birth defects. When our soldiers arrived for the Iraq War, they went, wow, are the Iraqis all deformed? They've got hair lips, they're half blind, they're crippled, they're low IQ. What's going on here?
Dr. Busby did a lot of this work. He showed, in fact,
you sure did.
His latest study showed that they're not just using depleted uranium, they are actually using live uranium weapons. He posits that they're using weapons they haven't told us about, because his studies don't coincide with depleted uranium, but they do show positive for active uranium. So
depleted uranium is active uranium, Lonnie. There really isn't that much difference.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that they're lying about.
Maybe you should have that conversation. I heard him talk about this. Maybe you should talk to him about it, because this is actually how the
that guy is absolutely brilliant. And let me tell you something. We have some great great human beings on this planet. Dr. Helen Caldicott, Dr. Chris Busby, Arnie Gunderson, Lonnie Clark, Libby Halevy, Miss Milky the Clown, and
who
they are speaking out against this horrible killer, and they are speaking out every day. And folks, we have to unite as a coalition behind these folks. And when we're talking about people like Chris Busby and Helen Caldicott, they have gotten rights to people like me who are, unfortunately, I don't have my rights yet, but they have gotten settlements and grants, and they went after these criminals who are killing people. And they have also shut down nuclear facilities. Look at the work that these folks have done, and you will be amazed and astounded. Arnie Gunderson shut down San Onofre, and he did it with science. And he is a person that's worked inside that industry. He knows what I'm talking about. Fukushima is so far worse than anything we've ever faced.
Arnie Gunderson was instrumental in shutting down the San Onofre nuclear plant. I did not know that.
He was basically the guy that did it. The Sahara Club and Friends of the Earth hired Arnie Gunderson. And Arnie Gunderson went in there, and he went in front of the committee. And when he was done with them, they couldn't run a reactor. What he proved is San Onofre had taken reactors, and they had instead of giving them the normal amounts of rods that were okay for the reactor to do, they tried to double the uranium rods in a reactor, and the reactors were literally shaking themselves apart. We might have lost Southern California if it hadn't been for Arnie Gunderson. Wow. I'm serious when I say
that. I do know that the 5 freeway really is too radioactive for the Navy to even take back. But no one talks about it. This is the issue. It's that dirty little secret.
Right.
The hard part is, this is not a secret about, oh, I cheated on my wife. This is a secret about, we're destroying the planet.
That's a bad
thing. And you know, that article this morning about trying to confuse people about what's fake and not fake, this is why I don't get flipped out about it, because very soon we are going to see genetic mutations all over in the plant life, in the world life. What was it, 900 million trees in California are dying, and they can't figure it out. And this has to go to the responsibility of the IAEA, who prevents scientists from specifically testing for radioactive isotopes in all of these illnesses. Nobody can test for radioactive isotopes in animals. They pretty much have stopped that one. So this and in trees, this is why that's why the people up in Woods Hole tested the water, because the water is the least, shows up the least amount. So it's so unconscionable.
It bioaccumulates in plant and animal life.
It really does speak to the fact that the human species, really, we're up against the ropes. I mean, we're losing
the fight here,
folks. But this is why, I've said this, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm not going to be unhappy.
Exactly.
This is what I actually said this to Tim.
I don't have any choices. I have to be unhappy. I'm being tortured. I'm being stalked. Every day, my life is threatened. They're not just doing illegal surveillance. This is not a benign, Big Brother is watching you. They're doing a feedback loop where I have to listen, where I have to deal with, and I'm not hearing voices. You know, you said to me, aren't you afraid of people thinking you were crazy? You know, a long time ago, they tried to say I was crazy. But if I was crazy, I couldn't function without my medicine. I would have been in hospital this whole time. I have done all this work and lived and created gymnastics, rhythm gymnastics and other art forms, and probably the best-selling plagiarized artist the world has ever known. No, I'm not one bit crazy. And now when I tell people what has happened to me, they do believe me, Lonnie. Whether they like to believe me or not, they believe me. And a lot of it is they're terrified to believe me. They're terrified to hear this story. But I have to deal with that pain of my brother dying, my mom dying, my sister murdered every single day. Right now as I talk to you, I'm in agony from Crohn's disease. I'm in agony from my back being broken. This is agony. And I'm being illegally surveillanced with repetitive hate crimes. Now, think about that. That's attempted murder. I died behind bars. We're dealing with a prison system. And by the way, the privatization of the prison system is directly tied in to my going after ATI. Halliburton, it works directly with nuclear plants. The big arms manufacturer made a fortune off selling weapons to the government from the Iraqi war. The Iraqi people were not deformed before George Bush the First used depleted uranium against their population. They were a smart, savvy people. Their little girls were not castrated at birth. They didn't wear puta. They dressed in Western style. They loved their daughters and their sons. They sent them to good university. And we don't need to do this for population control. We have showed that well-educated women make good decisions in their life. They have smaller birth rate. They love their children. They try to feed them better. We will control our population with education. We do not need genocide. We do not need wars. We do not need the uranium.
The United States manual has changed its manual to say, unlike any other advanced nation on the planet, our manual now says we believe that depleted uranium is a reasonable weapon, and we are still dropping, we're selling depleted uranium, and we are dropping uranium. Those drones are dropping depleted uranium weapons.
We are going to see in 10 years, they are definitely creating
a different world. I mean, their plan was to create a different world. You know, when George Bush said mission accomplished, he meant it. It is mission accomplished, and they're going ahead with it. Seriously, whether we...
Well, but I've got news for them, Lonnie.
They lose, too.
They lose, too. Their children die, too. They die, too. There are no answers to cancer. There aren't. I'm the only long-term survivor of molecular thyroid cancer in the entire world. You get there with Dharma, and you get there not because only because I'm a good person. There's better people than me that are dead, okay? But because the great everywhere spirit, the forces of this universe have worked for me right here, right now. That's why I'm alive. And I truly know that to be a fact. And when no matter how dark things look, if your listeners out there have one breath, if they have one heartbeat, if they're alive right now to hear our voice, there is hope. When I was 20 years old, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I was going to die. There was no hope, Lonnie. They told me I had to take chemotherapy. Well, I weighed 72 pounds, and I looked at these folks, and I said, you know what? Will it cure my cancer? And they said, oh, no, you're going to die anyway. And I refused to. Well, the doctor tried to say I was crazy. I went before the judge, presented the information, and said, listen, I'm going to die whether or not I have chemo. Why should I have to have chemo? The doctor said, you're absolutely right. You're not one bit crazy. Get out of here. The judge was absolutely on my side, and so was the doctor from the state, who said, no, she's not crazy. She can deny chemotherapy. She doesn't have to take this. That's one of the reasons I'm alive. Chemotherapy back then was killing a lot of people. Now, I'm not telling your listeners out there that if they have cancer to not take chemo. Every situation is unique and different. And trust people in the organization. There are good people. But I'm also warning people, the pharmaceutical manufacturers, that medical health care has been silent because cancer is a big business, because chemotherapy makes pharmaceutical companies a big business, and pharmaceutical manufacturers are incredibly rich. And so we are up against it. We are totally up against it. I can't tell people how up against this we are. Was I crazy? Absolutely not. Then later, when I was locked up, they called me crazy and they put me to death, and a terrible, agonizing death. It wasn't just some sweet little, here's the medicine, and I died quietly. I screamed for hours before my heart stopped. I mean, this is a horrible way to kill somebody. And so,
well, look, this is the thing. Let me just ask you this. You know a lot about science, and you've been through the ringer literally with these people.
I sure have.
What do you think about, I mean, like, I'm always thinking, because I'm a completely non-scientific person. I can't comprehend it still to this day. I mean, I've read it over and over again. I read the things and it still doesn't quite sink in. Do you think that there is a possibility that if we were to get scientists free from the grips of the IAEA and free to really actually explore how do we remediate this, that we could actually turn the ship around, that there is a solution for the planet? Or are we just looking at certain death in 150 years?
There are solutions. They are hard. They are painful. They won't be pretty. And what I mean by that is I survived cancer. It was not easy. The cancer returned. I got deathly ill. Things are not going to be easy, Lonnie. But there are things that we can do, and there are ways that we can do them. I was working on filters for meltdowns, for radiation, when I was attacked even more severely in Tucson. That's when I'm not hearing voices. I'm being tortured. These people stalked me everywhere I went. It became horrendous because that's exactly what I was working on. Because I understood that the amount of uranium-contaminated isotopes in the environment was so horrendous. But every day that Fukushima goes off, we get closer to that tipping point of a point of no return. And I don't know where that point is. Nobody knows where it is. But I'm telling people, as long as there's a breath in your body, as long as you look at your child or your friend and you want them to live, and you better believe me, the people that have violated my privacy, they don't give a damn if their friends and family live. The people that have come after me, they don't care about you, Lonnie, or your children or your friends, and they will throw you under the bus, and they throw each other under the bus, and they are not making any money off this. If this was about money, they'd pay me my royalties, because that, you know, that's how a society works. That's how things work. They are actually losing vast amounts of money. And the rich, I mean the Rothschilds, there's no hidey holes. There's nowhere underground. There's no magic cures. They're going to die too, unless they change. And yes, there are things we can do. I know there is. But it's going to be expensive. It's going to take a huge project. And once we contain it, we are going to have to look at solutions outside the box. I'm the only person I know that has really looked viably at those solutions. And some of them are expensive, but they will work. They will work. And so we have to now think in different terms. The reason I have renewable energy, Lonnie, and this is irony, because I had terminal cancer when I was going to college the first time around. What happened was I was forced to think in new ways. But because I was already pretty well educated and was able to use that brain to think in new ways, I was able to explore paths that nobody else had really looked at. The great minds in our society are being controlled. They are fed a template. They're only allowed to work on what their project director wants them to work on. That's exactly why nobody else has renewable energy. That's why we don't have any solutions for any of this. Now, what I mean by it's going to be ugly, there's still going to be a lot of people that die. If 75 million people die from every meltdown at Fukushima, and by the way, I'm giving people a conservative estimate. If that happens, I can't even get my mind around what I'm saying here. I want to cry because I know how those people are going to die. And I know the babies are going to be born deformed. And it just makes me so enraged. None of this needed to happen. If they had just used my work 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even, we could have done so much, but we can't go back in time. We have to go forward. So to deal with the situation we have today, a lot of people are going to die. And we have to get angry, and we have to do it peacefully. You bet they are.
People are being born. My sister has three grandchildren that are autistic. She lives in between three nuclear power plants in Pennsylvania. When I said to her, do you think that autism, autism is like one of the first things that pops up. Diabetes,
right,
and autism and schizophrenia. Those are the first, right, three diseases that show up when you've been exposed.
Now, and then
her
it's followed by.
Her response to me was, of course not. It's not from nuclear. That's her initial.
But,
and the
because
reason
nobody
is,
wants to admit it. You don't want to look at the elephant in the room. That elephant is mad, and it is trampling you, and you have to look at it.
Well, you know,
and
why,
this is
I
the reality we're up against.
You know what she told me? Why she didn't want to face it. She didn't want to face it because it meant she would have to move away. She would
have to
upend her life. She's got 8 kids, all of their spouses, all their kids, all their stuff. Like, she's probably got 24 people connected to her, 25 people connected to her. All of them are all living, and they all do have. And not just, I mean, this is the other hidden secret about nuclear contamination. It affects your emotions and your brains. They're all, some of them are super unstable. Some are okay, but some are unstable. That mental instability that we're seeing on the rise in this country is, I believe, and this is the hard part. We believe it because there are no studies being done. The studies that were done were done in the 60s and 70s. Nobody ever even thought about it. They suppressed any time, any information that came out negative about nuclear. That's all they do. That's their whole focus. Lie, 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 and lie until we die. That's the story.
And it is more than subtle. Okay, I saw a car commercial the other day, Lonnie, and they want you to buy a new truck, and they show you this pretty little skinny girl. And, Janet, buy me a new truck. Then they show this girl with a very voluptuous little girl. Janet. Now, if you'd have done that in the 60s, people would have went, what the? You know, they would have been furious. You're being manipulated. You're being mind controlled on every level. Folks, that new truck isn't going to save you from cancer. And that hoe ain't going to do you if you give him a ride in your car, okay?
The mind control is complete. We just had an election, and yesterday the news came out that the machines in Detroit were broken on election day. That's not even the case.
That's actually funny. I never think I have always said this country never elected baby boy Bush. We never elected baby boy. What happened was they own the machines. You remember what Stalin said? It isn't how you voted, who counts the votes.
They own our brains. This is why you and I are looked at as radicals, because we're free. We're still thinking. Like the disconnect, when we're sitting here talking about brainwashing and how it's the constant propaganda machine, right? They don't have to. It's just like Bush. He came out and said mission accomplished. He didn't lie. That's why I actually kind of liked Bush, because he never really lied. He told us exactly what they were doing. But the fact is, gave a crap like this. The machines broke on election day. Is anybody going, hey, we need new elections? No. No one's going to say a dang thing, and they're going to let Mad Dog Mattis be the president's foreign security counselor. You know what I mean? It's just like our country is beyond, and it's not our country.
There is
us.
No right-left paradigm. It's all been the same group the whole time. And one of the things David Icke keeps reiterating and telling people is that's the truth. And he's absolutely telling the truth. And another thing I want to say about David Icke. David Icke has outed how they have molested children. And God bless him for that. And I mean that. I don't say God bless you to everybody, but I do mean that. Because that man has really spoken out. They have used children, molested kids around me and used children. And they are molesting our children, everybody's children. What Lonnie is telling you about those three autistic grandchildren is absolutely the truth. The next stage is massive deformation and retardation. You Google right now, America, if you don't believe me, you get on your computer and you look at the children from Fallujah. You look at the children from Chernobyl and weep and see that it isn't just a bunch of seals and dolphins and polar bears, although I love them and I think they have a right to live too. And it isn't just your trees. It is your baby in your arms facing this stuff. And the one person who is really working on some viable solutions, they tortured and beat with a baseball bat when I tried to work as a juggler because they didn't want you to know I wrote your best-selling children's stories. And let me tell you something, Lonnie. That's another form of horrible, horrendous mind control, because if they can control what we read, what we view, if they are setting up the template, then we are screwed, because the whole thing is we are not muggles. We are beings with choices, and our lives matter, and we are magical, and we are alive. And I don't want anybody out there to give up hope. I want you to understand what I'm saying. There is hope beyond a place of despair. I have walked. I walk every day. I hear people threatening my life every single day. Now, imagine that. And what I've done is I hypnotize myself to say, that means I'm going to be stronger and live longer and be more wealthy, more prosperous, and love my children and do more good work in the world. And every word they say to me is going to come back on them, no matter how much hypocrisy they use or cruelty. It will come back on them. And it works, Lonnie. We can get through this, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be so difficult. There's a man I really like. His name
is Andrew
Collins.
Well, it's already difficult. It's not going to be. Like, this is the reality. Things, this whole thing of, oh, the New World Order is coming, World War III is coming. No, it's here, folks. It's in process.
Right.
We are living through it. And it's important for us to remember not to sink into despair, but to actually remember that happiness really is resistance. The one thing we can do is control our hearts and minds. There are things we can do. There's many techniques for doing it, meditation, tapping. Holding a baby will change your mind. And this is why they're going after the babies,
right?
Because babies are instrumental. Babies actually produce a hormone in our bodies that actually make us feel love. So this is why bombing the children. You know, I mean,
That's why they're molesting them, because hurt people are easier to control. Mm-hmm. Hurt, injured, damaged people are easier to control. I think Heidi and Matt were both beautiful interviews you did last week. I'm so proud of you, Lonnie. And I also want to tell people to hear these past interviews. They're so good. And the other person that you talked to had done work on the Marshall Islands.
He's from the Marshall Islands. He's going to join us again.
I have done so much work on the Marshall Islands. I couldn't believe I was listening to somebody who understood my work. I'm going, oh, yay. And what he was telling people, they went into paradise. They went into people that lived in this beautiful, beautiful way in harmony with the world, and they destroyed their lives. They gave them cancer. They displaced them. And, folks, this is what it comes down to. When I was given an option, do I want my kids to live? I left my home. I slept in ditches. I have never done anything unethical in my life. I was a wanted criminal for all I knew. I was terrified. Not for me. I am brave. I was terrified for my family. We are all connected to people. Your sister doesn't want to leave because she loves all these people. This is her community. This is her family. Folks, you do what you need to do. You get out there and you sleep in ditches if you have to save people that you love. You do whatever you have to do. Now, I know that my children are no longer at risk. I know the whole world is at risk, okay? But I know that my kids are safe, that they're not going to come after me like this. They killed my brother. It was a senseless death. There was no reason to kill him. They have taken their control and their power and their surveillance, and they have misused it and become twisted. And even people within the system are looking at this going, we can't do this. I was tortured behind bars in the 90s in Multnomah County. One of the main people that tortured me stalked me right here to this town. Now, I want you to think about that, Lonnie. That's needless, vicious cruelty, because injured people, and they're hoping to injure me, are easier to control. They're easier to manipulate. No, we won't have any of it. We're going to tell them no. No, we're not. And the other thing that might be happening with people not being able to talk out is we've all seen the chemtrails in the sky. They're real. They happen. Don't even try to deny it. Look up. Make your own mind up. You've seen them. Okay, what they can do with HAARP. You know, the Iraqi people were saying that they were hearing the voice of Allah in their heads to throw down their rifles. We know that they can use mind control through HAARP, and it also is being used to dummy down the American people. And so there is another dynamic thrown into the mix. These people are well organized, Lonnie. They know each other. They work together. They make a lot of money. On our side, we have people within our own movement attacking one another, and we must be supportive of each other. We must be. We must get a solid coalition of people. I don't care if you're right or left. I don't care if you're black, white, Chicano, Asian, Native American, man or a woman, young or old. This is the reality. Your life right now depends on you taking back your life. It isn't just my life that they ruined. They're, you know, they abused me for an example. They use the Kennedys for an example. You do this, you speak out, we're going to do this to you. You know what? They already are. And we don't have to take it. We don't.
Well, I am here. I just was, I often interrupt, so I'm learning to like not interrupt. But
how good of you.
But this is the thing. We really can take it back, and it is imperative for us to take action. But, you know, this whole thing of building a coalition, this is why I think they pay, what did I read, 30,000 internet trolls to be on social media and have 10 different fake websites.
Yep.
I mean, this is happening all the time. So this is why these recent attacks, and I don't think they're recent, on Dr. Busby or Helen Caldicott or the scientists, you know, but what happens is, we do have a set of people who are so-called anti-nukes, nuclears, like Natural Resource Defense Fund, who have told me repeatedly that no, they're definitely anti-nuclear, but they did work with the Illinois Department of I forget what it was, the energy, I guess, in Illinois, to keep two ailing, leaking nuclear facilities open so that they could close down the coal in that state. Now, do we think that, I said, do you think that the coal is going to be closed down? Well, we're on trajectory to do it. I said, well, when you get to that point, now I was just talking to a low level schmuck. I wanted to talk to somebody else above, and you can't when these, I mean, Natural Resource Defense Fund, what do they make? Like something like $300 million in donations every year. They had this is what started the conversation, an $11 million donation that I wanted to know where it came from. And they said, well, yeah, we don't have to. We're not. Since the Republicans have been in office, they've changed those rules on these nonprofits. You do not have to disclose where your donations come from anymore. So any nonprofit can keep secret.
That's wrong.
Well, look what it's done to the Natural Resource Defense Fund. It used to be a very big advocate for keeping our environment clean. It's in the heart of New York City. They have said nothing, zero, nothing about the 65,000% tritium leaking into the Hudson Bay. Why is that?
Oh, my God.
My suggestion when I said
Indian
to them,
Point.
Well, that's what I mean, I suggested this to them. You know, maybe that $11 million contribution keeps your mouth shut. And the guy's like, well, you know, that's not true. We take this very seriously. I said, well, really, since Fukushima, I have not heard you at all say anything
right
about.
After 9/11, homeless, beaten, terrified for my family, I went and I stood in New York City and I didn't know what to tell people. My royalties were making billions. My work had been published while I was behind bars being put to death. And I stood there and I looked out and there's a bunch of people gaslighting me. And I said, follow the money. And at that moment, the world changed, Lonnie. We have got to keep telling the truth. We've got to be just as sincere and just as honest and direct as we can be. Those people are being silent because they are being paid to be. And if you're being silent with science, you are killing people, Arnie. That's what these people are doing. They are killing people by their silence. They are killing people by misinformation. They are killing people. And you can look at it actively as they've stalked me. It's a miracle I'm alive. It really is. And there's ways that you can survive by hypnotizing yourself and your body to be a better person. But you can't get there without the good deeds, too. And if you're really against cancer out there and you're a doctor, then you join Doctors for Social Responsibility. Then you say, absolutely no. And I call on Greenpeace to start standing up to Fukushima, to start standing up to the nuclear cartel. I call on all environmentalists, on all people. If you want to live on this planet, you're now an environmentalist. Okay? That's what it's come down to. Let me tell you a quick story. This is after I was incarcerated. My life was in shreds. I was fighting to even see my child. Remember, I was a great mom. Everybody agreed on that. I'd never done anything wrong. That wasn't a, you know, an issue. My work was published for billions. That's what was going on. And a woman got on the bus, and I just went in for a check. My back has been broken 5 times, by the way, by violence. And I'm often in terrible pain, and they'd run some tests on me at the hospital. So I was coming out, and I was getting on the bus. The woman sat down by me. She looked at me, and she was tears were coming down her eyes. And she goes, we made fun of you. We stood there in the street corner, and we watched you juggle, and we said, and she goes, I stood with men who said, we're going to get her. She thinks she's anti-nuke. We're going to teach her. The only thing in this world that matters is money. I got news for you folks. Money really does matter. It's a great tool. But what matters more is you're alive to use that money. This woman had tears in her eyes. She's a mother of four. She worked at Trojan Nuclear Plant that we helped shut down in Morgan. She's dying of terminal cancer, breast cancer, from working at Trojan. Now, I want you to think about that story. She goes, you were right, and we wouldn't listen to you. And now look what they're doing to you. And it was horrible what they did to me then. It was horrible what they're doing to me today. You know, I will walk carrying heavy groceries through the snow with no thyroid. No, how I can do it. My back is in agony while I'm looking at my 8th car destroyed by violence, for God's sakes. And I have renewable perpetual energy. I think we need this. Hello? And we're up against people with long arms and deep pockets. But they have gotten into a frame set where they keep doing the same old thing over and over and over and over and over. The world changed on 3/11. Everything in your life changed. You don't know it yet, but it changed. It changed on 9/11. 9/11 led to 3/11. Hal Burton made $35 billion plus off the Iraqi war. Okay, good old Hal Burton there is also involved in the privatization of the prison system. And we have to look at this, and we have to look at it honestly and say, wow, this is not going to work. We cannot silence people. We cannot shut them up. We had better start paying the people that actually do the work, and we'd better look for some real interesting and new solutions if we're going to survive. And that's how we do it. And if there's breath in your body, you keep trying, Annie. You just keep trying. Keep trying. Do not give up.
Well, let me
trying.
Tell you what. You said that word. I hate that word, try. I really eliminate it from my
vocabulary. No, I know.
We do not need to say try. We need to keep making our best effort. We have to put
right.
our best
we need
foot
to
forward.
Do.
We have to persevere. I have a little sign in my house that says perseverance brings success. I mean, that is
that's
really
right.
We
right.
have to have
stick-to-itiveness. That's right.
And we cannot, I mean, the reason they attempt to intimidate us is so that we will stop with whatever it is that we're doing to challenge their narrative. I mean, look,
right.
3 days in a row now, I've had on three guests 3 days in a row. As soon as the guest gets on the line, the phone drops. Now, I'm beginning
wow.
to kind of laugh at that when it's been 3 days in a row.
Right, right.
Like,
yes,
really?
Yeah.
3 days in a row, so whatever. And you know what? I'm kind of like white on rice. I don't care what they do. I'm going to – if take a look at the pipelines that have destroyed our planet. Take a look at the uranium that is destroying our planet. Look at the nuclear bombs. They had World War III right after World War II. They dropped unconscionable amounts of nuclear radiation that is now affecting our children. They don't. Fukushima did not need to happen for them to be destroying the planet. But what this is the problem for them. When Fukushima happened, it got people like me. It shook. It didn't just shake Japan. It shook everybody out of their sleep, out of their deep sleep.
It shook the world.
And it and conscious. I think it actually did actually vibrate within our souls. I think it really did not a physical thing to every human on this planet. That's why there's like this awakening. And that's why
Fukushima
they're having to I think that's why they're having to ramp up the fascism.
Yes. Fukushima changed time. Did you know that? We lost like 0.0056 of a second. Fukushima actually changed time. That's how big that earthquake was. And to understand how deeply we're all affected, and what we can do is reach down and get active. I love when you say get your courage beat on, because that's exactly the truth. We are a gentle, angry people. We are fighting for life on planet Earth right now. We are not going to fight with guns. We are not going to fight with violence. We are going to fight with the truth. We are going to fight with peace, and we are going to come through this. But you out there who want
to
go to Target or Walmart or wherever and do your shopping and blah, 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 and get your stuff, I'm with you. I hear you. But every single day right now, you make a stand against the surveillance state. Every single day right now, you make a stand against nuclear energy. If you don't want if you're really in the medical community and you do not want cancer, then you go out there and you demand that your nuclear plant next to you get shut down. You demand that fuel is safely contained. We don't have to take this. A few people made too much money, and we saw this paradigm happen in Mexico, where an elitist oligarchy has everything and the people have nothing. We are not going to go that path.
Look,
that path
that,
does not
that,
work.
That model has been promoted by the Queen, picked up by the United States military and government.
Right, right.
But the thing
right.
is, this is why they shut down the peace movement of the 60s, because love is greater than fear. Love has
that's
if
right.
we focus on love and we focus on being love and we focus on being the magnificent person that each one of us is, we are stronger than all of our weapons. We can create the solutions. We can. I mean, the bottom line is we're at the denouement now. They're about to collapse. So when it does hit, when it does finally hit the ground and the dust settles, I really believe that we may have a sliver of a chance. If people believe in love strong enough, if we believe that we are here to really promote love, we're a unique little species. As far as we can see, our little planet is full of love. The animals have love. The trees have love. I mean, there's been lots of things. I keep talking about love, 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 but I really believe that is the solution. We need to focus on that. And that's why they kill our babies, because babies help us produce love. It's a really fascinating.
That's
that
right. They sure
love
do,
science.
Don't they?
I call it love
it's
science.
An organic, biological thing. I never could have survived years of torture that I've been through, that I'm still enduring. I
so,
never
well,
could have survived
have
it had I not loved my children.
We have
I wish I'd have told you about Andrew Cohen's work. What he says is that an X-ray planet out there, a sun that went nova and died and making X-rays, really changed how we evolved as human beings. It's possible. He just puts his hypothesis out there. It's very fascinating.
Well,
and
next
what
time
I'm
you're
saying
on, let's
is we can maybe
that.
Live through this, but we must try. Must endure. We must do it. We must
put
get together
effort.
And start
exactly.
really being supportive.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Lonnie. It's been a great talk with you.
Thank you, Hope. And everybody, put your courage feet on. Take some action. Speak out. Spread the love. Love yourself. Realize you're a magnificent being of the universe. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Talk to you later.
listening to UCY.TV.